Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Much everyone, it's so good to be with you guys again. I love this church, I love this house, just love who you guys are, what you carry, what you're going after in the presence of God. I hope everyone can hear me fine. I'm just assuming I'm all good. So I'm gonna go straight into it today because we haven't got long, but I really want to share something that God's been putting on my heart. Before we do that, I want to release an encouragement. I feel like there are some of you here who still feel like you're in the stripping season. You still feel like you're in a season where it feels like God is laying you bare. You still feel like you're in this season where, you know, a lot of people were hearing about talking about the coming out of lockdown. A lot of people were talking about, you know, coming into the new things and the great and the wonderful. And all of that is amazing. But I feel like there have been some where you still feel like, but I still feel like I've been locked in this place, God, or I still feel like I've been stuck. And I feel like the Lord wants to know that he's unsticking some of us today. God is removing us from the place where you feel like you've been stuck almost in the mud, and that there's really a place of freedom that God is wanting to bring to people today, but also that we would know that as the church right now, that yes, we're still in a stripping season. Yes, we're still in a place where God is dealing with hearts. Yes, we're still in a place where God is looking for our yieldedness and our surrender so that we might be ready and equipped for the next season ahead. Remember when Jesus went through the wilderness and he was in it for 40 days, he was tested, he was tempted by the devil, but what happened? He came out clothed in the power of God. And this is what I really believe God is wanting to do in this next season in the church. And so for many of us, it's felt like lockdown over the last year has been our Jesus in the wilderness season, where we've been tested, been tempted, we've been tried by the enemy. You know, the deep things of our hearts have come up. But God is wanting to really use this and take this as a means to build something that would establish you, plant you. Remember what Psalm 1 talks about. It talks about the tree that is planted by streams of living water. Blessed is he who delights in the word of God, who takes his delight in the counsel of God, that he is like a tree planted by streams of water. And it says his leaves never wither, but he bears fruit in every season. This is what God wants for you. This is what God wants for me. He wants you to prosper in your soul. He wants you to prosper in all that you do for the kingdom and the glory of God. It's not about us primarily, although he does love us and wants to bless us with those things, but it's much more about the glory of God. And so I really felt there was an encouragement there just as we kind of start off this morning, because I really sense that there's just still people who are in that season of trial. But you need to know that this is like the wilderness that God wants to use to bring you out in the power of God, so that others might see Jesus in and through your life. Angela Chan, I just want to quickly bless you and prophesy over you, if that's all right. I really felt the Lord wanting to release just an encouragement over you today. Before I just kind of get into anything else, I felt the Lord say that there is a generation that's going to be rising up from you, out of your, from one generation to another. I feel like there's a legacy that's been on your family that God is wanting to bless, and God is wanting to excel and accelerate. I felt like God says that you're in a season of acceleration, but there are also things where the Lord would say from your generation and what pours out of you in the days to come and the times ahead and the future is going to be different to what has been upon your family and previous generations. And I feel it's like God has set you apart almost with even within your family. I don't know anything about your family or anything like that, but I feel like there is something unique about you and the generation that's going to pour forth from you. And I really believe that the Lord says that out of the place of nothing, I bring something. And I really felt like the Lord says that there's going to be a substance of something very powerful and profound that's coming out of your life in this next season that God has for you, that you are in a season of acceleration. I felt the Lord say that you are a woman who has endured. You are a woman of prayer. You are a woman who has persevered. And the Lord would say that the battle belongs to Jesus, but God would say that you're in the hand of God right now in the season that you're in. And it's a very simple word in that respect, but I really felt the Lord say that you're on the winning side. And there's something about the victory that God has over your life and an acceleration that's coming upon you right now in the life that you're, the season that you're in, so that you can reach into what God has for you. And so I just bless you right now to be filled with the Spirit of God. I bless you right now to come into the plans and purposes of God. I see like businesses and ideas and things coming up for you as well. It was literally like I saw a building. I even felt like it was significant of a home or something like that, of property potentially. But there's something new that God is wanting to establish and raise up in your life. I don't know whether that's a relocating in terms of your physical home, but I actually felt there were the creative business ideas and things like that as well. I don't even know what you do for a job, but I just see this creativity creativity, but also this entrepreneurial spirit that God has given you. And I really believe that it was like out of nothing, something was suddenly produced. And I felt that the dreams that God has placed in your heart are about to be coming into fruition and given birth to. So Lord, we just say yes and amen. We test and weigh every word. Anything that's not Jesus, you can let that go. But we bless every word that's from the Lord and ask that it would strengthen you. In Jesus' name. Okay, amen. I'll crack straight into it. Love you guys. I hope that that first part already kind of resonated with some of you and encouraged you. But I spoke with Clive just this week and he said, Steve, what's burning in your heart? This is what I want you to share upon. And so I really wanted to just take a few minutes in the time that we have today to really share. And Clive, you cut in whenever you need to. I've already told you guys before, I'm not great with time. So once I get going, I'm a little bit tunnel visioned. I just kind of get into it. So you can just interject at any point. But, you know, I said, you know, what the Lord is really speaking to me about in the moment and the season I'm in is faith. And I really believe that this is a season, guys, where God is calling faith to come back to the church again. You know, we have been a people that have, you know, we talk about the saving faith in Christ. And I know there are others who talk about the different degrees of faith. I'm not really going to go much into that today. We know about the saving faith that we get in Jesus. When we put our faith and we put our hope in Jesus Christ and give our lives to Him. I want to talk a little bit more today about the gift of faith. This is something that's really been burning on my heart and something that God impressed upon me, I would say, since the beginning of this year in 2021, where the Lord said that this would be a year where I really want my church to start coming back into the things of faith again, where we would become a people of power, we become a people of the presence of God, but we become a people that presence would stir us to have an assurance and a hope in Jesus like we've not had before. We'd have an assurance of the promises of God, but you would also have an assurance of the power of God that's made manifest in your life, in and through your life. The scripture talks about the gift of faith that's given to us. And sometimes we don't talk about it like that. Sometimes we don't think about faith as a gift because there is this, there is a duty, there's a responsibility on our part, there's a cooperation on our side of things where we put our faith and we put our trust and we put our will and our agreement into action and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you for this. But yet the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12:9 that God gives the gift of faith. So the same spirit that gives great faith to another, it says, and to someone else, he gives the spirit gives the gift of healing. This is all with kind of, I'm not going to read through the chapter. This is all within the scriptures that talk about the gifts of the spirit that are given to us. But I think it's profound that there is a place where a gift of faith can be given to the church. The gift of faith can be released and given to you today. That's a supernatural gift that is given by the Holy Spirit, because remember, every gift that's given to us comes from above. It's apportioned by the Spirit of God. It's Romans 12:3 that says, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. Okay, so it's important that we remember that God is the one that gives the gifts to us and He apportions the measure of it. But that measure, I believe, can be decided almost by the amount that we eagerly desire. Remember, Paul says, eagerly desire the gifts. I mean, he talks about eagerly desire the gift of prophecy, but we're to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. And so I want to challenge us and ask us today, when was the last time that you eagerly desired the gifts of the Spirit? When was the last time you asked the Lord to give you the gift of healings? When was the last time you asked the Lord to release the gift of miracles or the interpretation of tongues? When was the last time that you asked the Lord to give you the gift of faith? I know some of this feels like simple stuff, but I feel like it's like God is bringing the church back to the foundations. God is bringing the church back to a place where we would establish ourselves on the things that we should have previously been built upon, but we've been distracted by in the last season. And I feel like for the last season, the last year, if not even longer than that, probably a lot longer than that, the church has been distracted from some of these things. One of the enemy's greatest weapons in bringing sabotage to the body of Christ is, can I distract them? Can I get them to question what God has said to them? Can I get them to question about the healing they've experienced and the breakthrough they've had and the testimonies they've come through? Can I get them to, can I put that whisper in their ear that would say, did God really say that? Did God really do that? And can I put that doubt and that unbelief in their heart that makes them question the things of God? And can I therefore distract them from who they're called to be as the body of Christ? Because let me tell you, the enemy is terrified. The enemy is scared of the body of Christ. The enemy is scared of a people who know their authority, scared of a people who know the power of God in their lives. And so these are the kind of strategies and the things that we need to be mindful of from the enemy side, but we need to really give our attention, give our focus, give our alignment and the posture of our hearts back to Jesus in this season that we're in. And so one of those things I think is really important right now is this gift of faith that God is wanting to put back on the church. And so, it really means that it's something we need to be challenging ourselves to. When was the last time that you asked God for that gift of faith? I know it's a simple one, but it's something we really need to ask ourselves, something I started thinking about. I've always read those scriptures, always known about the gift of faith, so to speak, but how much am I eagerly desiring it? What does it look like when the Spirit of God comes on you and gives the gift of faith? This is an amazing thing that the presence of God can bring to you. What does it mean? It means it's Hebrews 11:1. It starts to become made manifest where the scripture says, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction or the substance of things not seen. Faith is not based on what your physical, literal eyes can see. It doesn't come from that place. It comes from a place deep within the well of who you are, rooted and grounded and established in Jesus, that has a trust and an assurance of the things that God has promised and the things that God has said that he will do. And I really believe that we are in this time where the church has to start asking God, where is that gift of faith in my life? Where is that assurance of things hoped for? Where is that conviction, that substance of the things that are not seen in and through my life? Why is this so important right now that we contend and we pray and we ask for the gift of faith to be released to us? Because the spirit of unbelief is rampant in the nations. You know, one of the reasons is the lost need to know Jesus. People need to see what the church is walking in. They need to see that we're different from them. They need to see, wow, these people don't have their trust in money. They don't have their trust in sex. They don't have their trust in their job or in what people think of them. They don't have their trust in these all these other worldly things. These people have a trust and assurance of a God that they know. This is what it talks about in Proverbs 3:5 when it says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God. And when it talks about acknowledging God, it talks about perceiving God, knowing him, experientially knowing him and seeing God. And then it says that your ways will be made straight, your path will be made straight. There is this place of knowing him and leaning into him where you experience that and your pathways become made straight. The crooked pathways become made straight. And so there's really this thing right now where I believe that, for the nations of the earth, they need to see a people of God that know the power and the presence of God like never before. You know, for far too long, what I really feel like, and I was sharing this with Clive just the other day, is that the church, we've settled, if we're really honest with ourselves. I mean, maybe you haven't, and I hope and pray you haven't, but I know I have at times, and I know many others have at times. As a church, we have settled for the status quo. What do I mean by that? I mean that we have settled for what church has come to look like in the West, in our culture, the way that it is with our, with our a certain time of worship, certain songs of worship. Everybody kind of claps at the end, says it was a nice time. There's nothing wrong with that. This is all good things. That's not a disrespectful thing at all. But we get used to the kind of culture of what the church has looked like. But how much of the time are we expecting when we come to church that the power of God is going to be made manifest? How much of the time are we expecting in the church that God's presence is going to touch people in such a way that demons are going to be cast out? You know, that lepers are going to be cleaned, that the dead are going to be raised and the sick are going to be healed. This is the mandate that God gave to us. In the scriptures and in the gospels, and I haven't got the reference from me right with me right now, Matthew 10, I believe it is. But, you know, it's the mandate that God gave us to go out, that he gave to the disciples, that is still present in the church today, to heal the sick and raise the dead, to cast out demons and cleanse lepers. I remember that was one of the challenges I had. I remember saying, God, I believe in you to heal the sick and raise the dead, all of this kind of stuff. But I started to ask the question, Lord, why are we not seeing more of demons being cast out? And I know that can be a bit of a daunting subject, and we don't have time to unpack that or go into that today. It's not a daunting one. It shouldn't be a daunting one, but it has become one in the church that we've become scared about. But actually, it's supposed to be something that's very normal in the life of a Christian believer. We're supposed to be a people that when the place where you reside, the place where you go, clothed in the light of Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, would see the powers of darkness being broken in and through your life. Simply because, not because there's anything so amazing about us, but because Jesus lives inside of us. And every place that Jesus occupies has to have dominance. Every place that Jesus occupies has to see powers and principalities dethroned. This is the byproduct of the Christian life. This is what should happen to a people that are filled with the Spirit and the presence of God. And so I began asking these questions, Lord, I need to see more of this happening in my life. One of the things we need to do in order to see this faith and these kind of things being released is activating it, is stepping into a place where you begin to press into things that you haven't before. So my challenge to you today, the well, is, you know, if you're not seeing the sick being healed, why not? Have you been asking the Lord for it? If you've not been seeing the sick healed, when was the last time you prayed for a sick person to be healed? And I'm not saying any of this with condemnation. I say it with the greatest amount of love in my heart for all of you, because this is a challenge that, you know, I've been experiencing over the last year myself as well. I was seeing people getting touched by the presence and the power of God in wonderful ways. Praise God, but there were certain things I wasn't seeing. And I felt the Lord say, am I not the God of unlimited resources? Am I not the God of unlimited power who can do all things? And I remember feeling like, God, why have I limited myself? Why have I limited you in my thought process and what my expectation is for you to do in and through my life? And so one of the ways that we start to see the power and the presence of God move in these ways, and we start to see that faith getting activated, guys, is really by taking a step, doing something you weren't doing before. If you haven't found a sick person to heal for a while, go and lay hands on a sick person. Well, maybe don't lay hands on them. That would be controversial at the moment. But, you know, maybe, you know, speak it out. You know, God doesn't need your hand. The laying on of hands is important, but we know more than anything this year, having to do everything online, if you've experienced the power and the presence of God at some point, you know Jesus can move through a computer screen as much as he can do by laying on a hand. So God's not limited to that. But if you haven't found a sick person to heal, this week I challenge you, go and find someone to heal, unbeliever or a believer, doesn't really matter. Start to activate that gift of faith. And, you know, this one might sound a bit strange, but it was like, if you haven't found someone who's demon oppressed, maybe go and see, you know, see where they are, see who you might be able to find. And I know that sounds really, really strange, but I remember when I started stepping more into this, I began to ask God for the gift of discernment. Not to shame the people or anything like that, but I was like, God, let me see where there are spirits that are afflicting people in your church who need to get free, because we're meant to be light, but we're meant to be a people clothed and anointed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, it's the gospel. This is Jesus. It's the blood. This is what sets people free. This is what heals the sick. It's the name above every other name. It's not your name or my name or anyone else's name that does it. It is the name of Jesus. This is our focus. This is where our positioning has to be daily, every single day, where we commune with him. We practice his presence. We don't go a day without living and walking and breathing the presence of God, because he has to become our oxygen and our soul, you know, our soul need. And, you know, I remember finding people where I just started to, I thought, I'm going to see what happens in terms of, you know, casting demons out, things like that. And I began to where I felt that sort of unction, that kind of pull from the Holy Spirit, just began to kind of name some things that I sensed were sometimes over people that were kind of oppressing them. And it was remarkable. The moment I began to activate myself in going for these things, the Spirit of God just began landing on people in ways that I wasn't, you know, used to. And, you know, demonic oppression began to lift and people began getting free. And I hadn't seen much of that sort of stuff at all. This was just a couple years ago. And so there's something where God really partners with faith. God really partners with our expectation. God partners with that longing that's in your heart. God will partner with your hunger. Remember, it's always the hungry that get fed. God doesn't provide lack to the children of God. There's a bread, there is portion, there is presence that God gives. We don't live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We are a people that live on the voice of God, his presence, his touch, his experience of who he is. And so, I really believe that this is a time where the church, we need to come back to Acts 2. Yes, we're praying for that outpouring of the Spirit. Yes, we're to pray for that baptism of fire. And yes, that is something that we could talk about as being distinct as well from this gift of faith. But, you know, we're in the asking, there's an expectation there. Are you asking for that baptism of fire? Are you asking for the Spirit of God to come upon you for your family so that your families might get free? Are you asking the Spirit of God to come on you for your community so that your community might get free? What is it that we're praying at the moment? And what is it we're going for? And if we've settled, why have we settled? How have we become complacent in our hearts, in our walks with Jesus? Have we become numb and dull? I'm not saying any of these things as doom and gloom. I'm saying these things as things that we need to address as the church right now, because God wants to pull you out from that place. God wants to propel us into a place where the church will be equipped with the glory of God, where the church will be anointed with his presence once more. You know, we've got all these different things in society that are saying we have the answer. We have the answer. We have the answer. We have the answer to gender issues. Oh, we'll just change our gender. We'll change our names. All this kind of stuff. Society's saying it has the answer, but it doesn't. We know that Jesus Christ is the solution. We carry the solution of him and him alone for every person that we come into contact with. But we need to be a people that are clothed in that power. And so I encourage you, let's press in for the gift of faith in this season that we're in, church. Let's really go after it. This is something that I've already said I've been going for it. But in the more recent times, last year, the Lord told me to set up an online healing room because I just thought, Lord, I want to see your presence pouring out of everything that I do. I want to see the love of Jesus touching every person I come into contact with, but it feels so limiting while we're on Zoom and all of this stuff. And it's so easy to get bogged down and pulled down by that. And then God just spoke to me in my spirit and he dropped it crystal clear and just said, set up an online healing room. And so I did it really, really quickly. And, now we have people every week coming to this online healing room who need prayer for healing. Most of them are saved. Some of them are unsaved. I'm praying and longing for more of the unsaved to come to it. But, you know, we're seeing miracles are just starting to break out more and more and more. People are getting touched every week by the presence of God in profound ways, whether they'll come out of it weeping. Some of them are testifying to saying they felt things like the fire, the electricity of God's presence on their body like they haven't had in years. And this is all through a team of like five or six of us on an online healing room that we put together. And it's amazing how God will respond to your faith. It's amazing how God will respond to the action that we put in those moments, if we'll trust in him, if we'll believe that the nature of God is that God wants to do these things. And this is another key thing. We have to get back to what is it that we believe about the nature of God. Sometimes we don't contend for these things because we don't actually believe that the nature of God means that he'll do them. Sometimes we don't contend for healing because we don't actually think that God is going to heal. But I think we need to get back to a place where we remember the nature, the character, the heart of God. You know, me and Clive were talking about this whole tension between the kingdom now and the kingdom not yet. You know, these different ways people talk about it. But we're in this place where the kingdom is now. The kingdom is available. And yet the kingdom is still coming and is still advancing. 10 minutes. Okay, that's good to know. And, the kingdom is still advancing. And this is what we've got to press in for. But you look through the gospel accounts, and I'm going to read some of them to you in a moment, because I want to just stir us around Jesus really speaks about the importance of faith. But you look through the gospel accounts, and what did Jesus do? What did Jesus model? Jesus healed every person, you know, that came to him. That happened through the gospels, through the cities that he went preaching in. It was Matthew 9:35, I think it is. It says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom, and he healed every sickness, every disease that was among the people. We have to come back to what is the nature, the character, and the heart of God. Do I believe that it is in the heart of God to heal? Do I believe it is in the heart of God to set people free? Do I believe it is in the heart of God to restore broken hearts? You know, what is it you believe about the nature of God? This is a really important question because it can be the thing that hinders us. It can be the thing that entangles us. It can be the thing that actually stops you from stepping into what God has called you to do and who he's called you to be. So I challenge you this morning, guys. What do we believe about the nature of God, our Father? He's kind, he's loving, he's gracious, he's merciful, but he's so full of glorious power and might. And, we had a time even just this week in the healing room praying for people, and we're praying for this guy with terrible shoulder pain. And it was amazing just to watch as the Spirit of God just began to fall upon him and he just began burning. And he said, I feel like I'm on fire. I'm sweating. What's happening to me? And it was just this glorious touch of God's presence. God came, God touched him, God healed his shoulder. There's still a little bit more that he needs. But this is another thing. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged when we don't always see immediately the healing or the fullness of healing. Sometimes we still don't see every person healed or every person free immediately. But there's a pressing in. There's a continuation. There's something that I believe God is putting in us, church, as an enduring strength and might that says no matter what, we won't give up. We'll keep pressing in. We'll keep pushing forward. We'll keep leaning into Jesus, falling in love with him, knowing that as we fall in love with Jesus, as we prioritize his presence, as we give everything of ourselves to him, what happens? That without fail, you know, the scripture talks about in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we are being conformed to the image of Christ from one degree of glory to another as we behold him. This is an amazing promise. It means that as you behold Jesus, as you make that your highest goal, and I love that Clive, I think he referenced in the morning, the scripture in the Psalms that says, I set the Lord always before me. You know, as you set the Lord always before you and behold him, you begin to get conformed more and more into his image and into his likeness. God's presence is without fail is going to start to increase, to pour out through your life. It's just a byproduct of a life that's given over to Jesus. And so this is why the secret place is so important. This is why that prizing of God's presence is so important. But you know, it was wonderful what God did. We had a guy just recently who was in a coma, come out of a coma and testify. And you know, we're documenting these as video testimonies as well. He went in there with 2% kidney function, was really, really in a dangerous place. He then caught COVID as well, so they had to put him into a coma. They then found out he had blood cancer as well. He has still got some blood cancer in his body, but he came out of the coma miraculously, and the doctors were astonished by it as well. These are some of the things that we're seeing happen at the moment, you know, and it's happening like week after week. And there's nothing special about this team of people other than they really love Jesus. But I want to encourage you, this is what God has for us as the church right now in the time that we're in. Remember, scripture says in Luke 11:13, how much more will the Father give the Spirit to those who ask? You know, if you as a parent are willing to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Spirit to those who ask for it? This is a promise that we've been given. We were talking about Acts 2 and Pentecost. When the disciples were in that upper room, they waited on God. This was the place where there was a promise of power that would be clothed upon the people of God. And you know what? I think, guys, we hear about like the Smith Wigglesworths, and I'm going to read you a couple of excerpts from that in a moment, because it's just been so stirring and encouraging and challenging for me with I think the season that we're in. And we hear about the Catherine Coolmans and, you know, just whoever it is that you look to as the heroes of faith, John G. Lake, whoever it might be. I think part of the problem is we've looked to some of those people as if what they've had is unattainable. We've looked at it as it's amazing. Wow, look at how God used these incredible men and women of God. But we've seen it as unattainable. And this is what I was getting back to in terms of the status quo of the church, where we've settled, where God is wanting to break us out from that place of having settled. You know, ask yourself that question, Lord, have I settled in my heart over this last season, the last year, the last 10 years, whatever it might be? God, have I just settled? And have I read those stories about someone else where I thought that's really great that they've had that walk, but I'll never have that walk with Jesus? The whole point of these stories, the whole point of what, you know, even what we read about in the Gospels, they're meant to infuse and inspire and awaken desire. They're meant to awaken passion. They're meant to awaken this hunger and this deep longing that says, God, if you did it for them, then you can do it for me as well. Because we're all children of God. We're all sons and daughters of God. And so I'm going to read you a couple of stories. I've got 5 minutes. Ooh, gosh, time flies when you're having fun. I hope this is okay for everyone. I'm aware that I'm going five, then minister. Okay, cool. Because I believe that God wants to heal people today as well. And so this is what we have to do. We just have to go for it. It doesn't matter about whether you're scared about it. You know, whether you're worried if people get healed. It doesn't matter. It's not you anyway. At the end of the day, it's Jesus. You know, it's not us that heals the people. It's Jesus. The pressure's all on him. You know, all that God needs is our cooperation and our partnership. And, you know, I know there are scriptures around faith and when people don't get healed of faith. But I don't want that to become something where we get sucked in by that and start to become a people that then doubt every time we don't see healing. Is it because I didn't have enough faith? I'm not going to go down that route. Jesus is the one who does the healing. So let me read you this story. I've got a couple of excerpts. Plug for Smith Wigglesworth. He's not alive anymore, but I'll still plug him anyway. This is one of the greatest devotionals that I've ever read. So if you just type in Smith Wigglesworth devotional on Amazon, you will find it. But man, I'll tell you, these stories are stirring and they're challenging to the believer. Let me read you just this one. And this is entitled, What Are You Focused On? And so the basis of this is from James 5, verse 15, where it talks about the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And just listen to this, because I think so many of us can relate to this story that he shares. He says, a Baptist minister came to me and said, the doctor says that this is the last day that my wife has to live. I said, oh, Brother Clark, why don't you believe God? God can raise her up if you will only believe him. He replied, I have looked at you when you talked and have wept and said, Father, if you could give me this confidence, I would be so happy. I said, could you trust God? I felt that the Lord would heal her. I sent word to a certain man and asked if he would come with me to pray for a dying woman. And I believed that if two of us would go and anoint her according to James 5:14-15, that she would be raised up. This man said, "Oh, why do you come to me? I could not believe, although I believe the Lord would be sure to heal her if you would go." And just as interruption there, how many of us have that? So often we feel like, oh, the special man or woman of God, yeah, if they pray, they'll get healed. But when I pray, it's not going to happen. So this is powerful that we're hearing what he's writing about here. "Then I sent word to another man and asked him to go with me. This man could pray by the hour. When he was on his knees, he could go around the world 3 times and come out at the same place. I told him that whatever his impression was, to be sure to go on and pray right through. We entered the house. I asked this man to pray first. He cried in his desperation and prayed that this man might be comforted after he was left with these little motherless children and that he might be strengthened to bear his sorrow." And I love how he writes, because he's very blunt and he's very direct. And he says, "I could hardly wait until he was finished. My whole being was moved. I thought, what an awful thing to bring this man all this way to pray that kind of a prayer. What was the matter with him? He was looking at the dying woman instead of looking at God. The Lord wants to help us right now to learn this truth and to keep our eyes on him. When this man had finished, I said to Brother Clark, 'Now you pray.' He took up the thread where the other man had left off and went on with the same kind of prayer. He got so down beneath the burden, I thought he would never rise again, and I was glad when he was through. I could not have borne it much longer. These prayers seemed to be the most out-of-place prayers I had ever heard. The whole atmosphere was being charged with unbelief. My soul was stirred. I was eager for God to get a chance to do something and to have his way. I did not wait to pray, but rushed up to the bed and tipped the oil bottle, pouring nearly the whole contents on the woman. Then I saw Jesus just above the bed with the sweetest smile on his face, and I said to her, 'Woman, Jesus Christ makes you whole.' The woman stood up perfectly healed, and she is a strong woman today. Oh, beloved, may God help us to get our eyes off the conditions and symptoms, no matter how bad they appear to be, and get them fastened on him. Then we will be able to pray the prayer of faith." I thought that was an amazing, amazing story, because I think so many of us can relate to that and can relate to those times where we've looked at the condition instead of looking at Jesus when we come face to face with sickness. I'm going to read just one more for you, because this is an amazing one that's around salvation. And how many of us want to see the lost getting saved?
Amen.
Come on, raise a hand. Come on. Yes. And so this one was entitled "How to Bring Conviction of Sin." And he says this: "Do you believe," and this is just, guys, this is stirring stuff. This is challenging, because most of us are not walking in this kind of measure of God's presence and power, but it is available to the people of God. And so even as you hear it, just ask the Lord to do it in you. It says, "Do you believe that you can be so filled with the Spirit that a person who is not living right can be judged and convicted by your presence? As we go on in the life of the Spirit, it will be said of us that a vile person is convicted in our presence. Jesus lived in this realm and moved in it, and his life was a constant reproof to the wickedness around him. But he was the Son of God, you say. God, through him, has brought us into the place of sonship, and I believe that if the Holy Spirit has a chance at us, he can make something of us and bring us to the same place. I don't want to boast. If I glory in anything, it is only in the Lord, who has been so gracious to me. But I remember a wonderful time of conviction. I stepped out of a railway coach to wash my hands. I had a season of prayer, and the Lord just filled me to overflowing with his love. I was going to a convention in Ireland, and I could not get there fast enough. As I returned to my seat, I believed that the Spirit of the Lord was so heavy upon me that my face must have shone. When the Spirit transforms a man's countenance, he cannot tell this on his own. There were 2 ministers sitting together, and as I got into the coach, again, one of them cried out, 'You convict me of sin.' Within 3 minutes, everyone in the coach was crying to God for salvation. This has happened many times in my life. It is the ministry of the Spirit that Paul spoke of. This infilling of the Spirit will make your life effective, so that even the people in the stores where you shop will want to leave your presence because they are brought under conviction. We must move away from everything that pertains to the letter. All that we do must be done under the anointing of the Spirit. Our problem has been that we have been living in the letter. Believe what the Holy Spirit has said through Paul, that this entire ministry of condemnation that has hindered your liberty in Christ is done away with. The law has been done away with. As far as you are concerned, that old order of things is forever done away, and the Spirit of God has brought in a new life of purity and love. In the life in the Spirit, the old allurements have lost their power. The devil will meet you at every turn, but the Spirit of God will always lift up a standard against him." I won't read the rest of it, but that's more or less it. Amazing, isn't it? I know I've got to wrap up now, right? Okay, I'm going to go into ministry in just a second. And this is stirring stuff, though. But a people filled with faith and a people filled with belief that this is what God wants to do, and a people filled with that presence of the Holy Spirit, that God can convict people of sin, that God can heal and raise the dead and do all these amazing, amazing things. Our lives were meant for more than what many of us are living at the moment. And, you know, I've just been so challenged by the scriptures over and over again in the Gospels. And I'm saying to Clive, I'm not into the whole kind of being a faith theologian or anything like that. But I've noticed so much this last month as I've read the Gospel of Matthew in particular, the amount of times that Jesus heals and commends people based upon their faith. And there are a couple of occasions where, you know, the disciples, they weren't able to heal. And it says because of their lack of faith. And so there is something where God is wanting us to not come under this condemnation or weight, guys, but come into a place where we start to ask the Lord, give me that assurance, give me that faith to believe and expect for you to do the immeasurably more through our lives. And so I'm going to pray for you now. Father, I just thank you for every person. Come on, guys, if you want the gift of faith today, if you want that expectation, if you want what Wigglesworth was sharing in that book, if you want what Jesus models to us in the New Testament, where he healed every sickness and every disease instantly before his eyes. You know, if you want that, just begin to pray it even right now in your home, wherever you are, in your bedroom. Begin to ask the Spirit of God to come upon you. Come on, guys, you are meant for more than this. I was meant for more than this. We are meant to reflect and model the gospel, the glory, the power of Jesus, the love of Jesus to the world around us. But we cannot do that unless we're infused with that presence. So, Lord, we pray even again today, Lord, let there be a releasing right now of the gift of faith to every person listening today. God, let there be a releasing of the power of God upon every person listening today. Father, I pray in their homes right now that, Lord, that the assurance, Lord, the assurance of things hoped for, the substance, Lord, of the things unseen will begin to manifest in the life of the well church. God, for all of you watching right now, I pray that the fire of the Holy Spirit would baptize you fresh. I pray for the fire of the Holy Spirit to contaminate your body right now. I pray that the fire of the Holy Spirit will burn through you, so the next person you pray for, you would see immediately healed or free. The next time you pray that prayer for provision, you would see the Lord meet your need. The next time you pray for that healing in the heart, you would see that restoration. The next time you see those who are oppressed, you would see them getting free. Father, let there be an expectation released today. Let there be an awakening in our hearts once more. Let there be a burning and a yearning for more of Jesus. Lord, I ask for that supernatural gift of faith right now to be released in Jesus' name. Supernatural gift of faith. Father, I'm asking for every person listening today, the gift of faith, God. 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 Come on, pray it. God, give me the gift of faith. God, give me the gift of faith. Give me that gift of longing. Give me that gift of expectation. Give me that gift of yearning that believes that, Lord, that when you land upon a man or a woman of God, the presence of Jesus is going to touch people. Father, give us that longing. Give us that stirring in our soul. Father, let doubt be removed in Jesus' name. Some of you have come under that spirit of unbelief and doubt. Father, we declare right now that is shut down and broken in Jesus' name. Come on, if you know that you come under unbelief, if you know that you feel doubtful in your heart, put your hand over your mind or your heart. The mind is where the battlefield is, and that's often where it starts. And so, God, we serve notice right now on unbelief and doubt. We break the power of that spirit of unbelief. We declare that, Lord, right now, the belief of God, the faith in the Son of God would rise up in our hearts and our minds and our will and our emotions, that Jesus, our faith and our trust and our hope that does not come from man but comes from you alone, would break the power of unbelief that is rampant in a nation, that is rampant in a generation of people who have no faith to believe that, God, you are who you say you are and that you will do the things that you said that you will do. Lord, we put an expectation on you today, Father, and we say, God, come and do what you said that you would do. Lord, we pray the Lord's Prayer. We say, let the kingdom of God come. Let the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, manifest your spirit today. Manifest your spirit. I just feel for a couple more moments, I need to pray against that unbelief. Father, rip it out of us today. Rip it out of your people today. Rip it off minds today. Rip it out of hearts today. God, for those who have been sick for a long time, who don't believe that they'll ever be healed, rip that disappointment and discouragement that's fallen upon them off. Break the power of it right now. Father, for those who don't believe, Lord, that when they lay hands upon someone that the sick will be healed or recovered, Father, we ask for the supernatural empowering of healing, a supernatural empowering, the anointing of the Spirit, God, to know that Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory, when those hands get laid upon someone, it's not our hands, but it's the presence of Jesus that will surely heal the sick and set the captives free. Father, I pray that for all of those who feel like, what about all those other times I haven't seen this or that? God, would you do away with it, Father? Would you remove that discouragement? Would you remove that? That's how the spirit of unbelief works, guys. The enemy plants. He plants that discouragement. He plants that one time you didn't see someone healed. He plants that one time that something didn't happen. And then he tries to circle it like a cycle going round and round and round your head so that you get frozen into a place of fear. But faith breaks the power of fear. Faith is the remedy to fear. So Father, we declare right now that the fear of man and the fear of the unknown will be broken, and that the faith of God would fill every person. And Lord, for every person who's been struggling with insomnia, right now, if you've been struggling with your sleep, I was sharing testimony with Clive about this. We prayed for someone last week, insomnia. They slept like a baby that night. They also woke up with no hip pain. Father, we declare right now the fire of the Holy Spirit comes upon their sleep in Jesus' name. I declare right now that you will sleep in peace tonight. I declare right now insomnia will be broken off you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, for all of those who have been struggling with pain in their hips and in their back, God, we declare right now the healing fire of the Holy Spirit comes now in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be made whole in Jesus' name. We say, let the kingdom of God come right now as it is in heaven in Jesus' name. I'm sure there are more. I encourage you to pray, maybe even in your rooms, pray for one another, but I know I'm running out of time, so I'm going to give to Clive.